Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I'm back from vacation, and I have two programs tonight. We are doing the short regular show, and then I will be moving to the Crucible at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I will be teaming up with Richard Spencer against Jim Bob and Posh. This was requested by an audience member maybe a month ago. He said, I want you to debate Jim Bob. I talked to the Crucible about it. They arranged this panel, Richard and I against Jim Bob and Posh on the question of evolution. I don't know how Richard will fare in a debate about evolution. I don't know him to be a rational skeptic type of guy, so I don't know, but perhaps he will do well. It's not his usual theme of debate. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I have to answer a super chat from just before I left for vacation. Someone says, I hope you enjoyed your vacation, JF. Yes, I did. It's very rare that I get vacations. I typically am on the internet 7 days a week. But I needed to take them, so I took them. To answer the super chat that was asked of me, and I remember this guy sent me many $25 super chats, and I think it summed up to $150. He said, JF, could you figure this out for me? Is a 100% genetically British person more likely to be more closely related to another 100% genetically British person chosen at random, or more closely related to a cousin who's genetically 50% British and 50% French? So again, we have this question, which was this similar question was asked of me a long time ago about the distance with Africans. And what if you end up having a baby with an African? Will you be closer to your baby, or will you be closer to your compatriot if you're a white European? And the answer had mind blown me. You are more distant from your own child than you are from a random European person if you reproduce with an African woman. That was shocking to me, but that's a more subtle question that we get here in the super chat about what if it's not an African that you reproduce with, but a French person instead. And what if we are talking about the difference, not of your child, but of a cousin? So it was very hard for me to find relevant data, so I had to extrapolate some data. So don't necessarily think that this is the final word. My method had to be adjusted to the kind of data I could obtain, and I had difficulty finding pairwise FST distances between English and French. There's lots of studies out there, but they regroup Northwestern European versus Northeastern European. Really, to find English and French, I only found one study that had the FST quantification, and it's this study, Population-Specific FST and Pairwise FST, History and Environmental Pressure. So, but it doesn't have the data in the format I would have wanted it ideally, but I extrapolated it. So here's what I did. Here you have the Arcadian. The difference between the Arcadian here and the French here, which sums up to this branch here, tells you the FST of between the English and the French. Now what I needed is the inner FST of English versus English and French versus French. And unfortunately, on that graph, they would be supposed to provide it, but it's calculated with a different equation, and it leads to a messy picture. I cannot use this number on the left to quantify the inner English FST. So what I did is an approximation. Here's the way I see it. I looked at the branches that are the shortest ones. So those are the groups that are most similar to each other. And I made the extrapolation that English with respect to themselves, with respect to the English themselves, must be pretty much in that range, or they must be lower than that range. So this gives us an upper boundary on what we should expect if they had used the exact same equation for pairwise comparison of English versus English. And so with this extrapolation in mind and knowing that it may be wrong, and let's not forget also that those are ancestral populations of people who know that they have so many generations behind all English ancestors. So the answer wouldn't be the same if we're talking about a random English picked on the street, especially not if your definition of English is someone who lives in England. I hate to disappoint you, but you don't have that much chance of picking an English in England anymore. So with all these caveats in mind, I have worked with the following numbers. The FST pairwise between the English and the French would be 0.0066. And the FST within the English group, I kind of roughly evaluate it at 0.0012. And this may change wildly if you're using different samples of people who know or who don't know if their ancestors were truly all English. So that being said, it leads us to 0.0012, 0.0066. So you're talking about a cousin who would be 50% English, 50% French. So we will say, okay, the cousin part is a copy of you. He carries the exact same gene as you, and that part of his genetics is 12.5%, 1 over 8. The rest of his genetics must be divided by 2. Half of it is English, half of it is French. And so I'm giving 0.0012 times 43.75%, which is the half of the rest, and then 0.0066 times 43.75% for the French part of his genetics. So your total distance from a cousin would be from a cousin who is 50% British and 50% French would be 0.0034. And therefore, here's the conclusion, and I'm mind blown again. You are closer to the random British person than from your European mixed cousin. Amazing. You are closer to the random British person of British descent than you are from your cousin who's emerging from an alliance with a French genetics, with 50% French genetics. I didn't know about this stuff. You guys are asking me questions that are mind-blowing in terms of, oh my God, you have more genetic solidarity potentially with the people you live with in a nation than your cousins and brothers when they have emerged from race mixing. I knew that for the African case, but it's mind-blowing to me that it's also true for the French case. The French and the English are distinct enough to lead to this positive response. You are more genetically related to the British random person. He also had made a follow-up question. He says, Jeff, I hope you look up and do the math on my previous question. And if you could you also look up the answer for the same question, but instead of a cousin, it's a random person who is genetically 50% British and 50% French. So that's an easy one. You take my numbers and it's the average between the two. The average between 0.0012, 0.006, you end up being distant from that person at 0.0039, which means the random British person is more linked to a British person than the 50-50 British-French mixed person, as would be expected. So I hope that you are satisfied with these answers. There still remains, I would like to have a genuine set of data for inner pairwise comparisons within the English and across the English and French. I've not found a single study that does this in the way you were asking it. So too bad. but my approximation, I think, must not be super far from a reality. At best, I have overestimated. I have overestimated the distance within the English cluster and the distance within the French cluster. And so in any case, I believe that if we were to have the real numbers well quantified, it may exaggerate my current answer. You may be even closer to the English. Quite. Wow. Sends $50. Thank you so much for sending a super chat and supporting the show. He says, JF, as a British descended man talking to you, a French descended man, I feel like we are aliens to each other. I would tell you my name, but it is unpronounceable to your tongue. Yes, it's true, but it's true that I feel that culturally. But it was my impression that the English and French had enough war, enough immigration, enough interactions, that their genetics would be kind of melded together. But they're not. They are distinct enough that that the national belonging is extremely significant in a balanced weight against the family link, which is the point of Frank Salter. But I always have difficulty digesting it. I always have difficulty accepting it. I still want to do my final comments on Frank Salter and how I find that kin selection, that the idea of genetic solidarity with people for whom the family links are unknown or unrelated to you, to me, it still doesn't make as much sense as baby making. And because there's a delegation when you start saying, I'm going to die for my countrymen, compatriots. To me, you are getting stuffed like the turkey. You are being cucked, basically. You are being cucked by genes that are mathematically the same as yours, but they're not yours. And eventually, you're going to get cucked by some other gene. That's the problem. When do you stop trusting the kin selection network? And I'm going to do a full video about this, but for my return of vacation, that is not the right moment to do so. Brett Weinstein doesn't have time to read The Revolutionary Phenotype, a major theoretical progress in his field, but he has a position on the foreskin question. Foreskin is an evolutionary adaptation. It had a value and may or may not be net beneficial in the modern environment. Circumcision is also an adaptation that may or may not be net beneficial in modern times. Surgical sex change is not an adaptation. Done in children, it's immoral. And Alex on Twitter was asking, why are the genital surgeries you like adaptations and the ones you don't like aren't? Without other context, this just feels like special pleading. Whoa, that is an interesting case. Is Brett Weinstein being biased here? Maybe by, I don't know, personal preference, family links? Brett Weinstein answers, has nothing to do with preference. Circumcisions has stood the test of evolutionary time. If it was simply negative, selection would have eliminated it. Well, I don't think it is necessarily the case that it was properly tested through time. Because if it gave a small disadvantage, we may not have seen, given the other events of history, we may not have had a detectable signal yet. Let's say that circumcision kills you 1 out of 10,000 times. I'm not sure we would know. And in fact, we kind of know because there are cases of circumcisions gone wrong. I'm not going to provide the detail because it's always, to me, it's disgusting just thinking about it. But there are cases of circumcision gone wrong. Gone wrong to give you a disease, gone wrong to totally chop your penis and make you unable to reproduce. And I think there may be even some cases of infection that eventually results in death. So we kind of know that it's possible to be dying from this. Or it's at least certainly possible to become completely sterile from it. So then the question is, if your issue with the trans surgery is the fertility aspect, it's the fact that a child is basically being put in a situation where they will not be able to have babies, or it's very unlikely that they will be able, then you are talking not about a morally different situation. You're talking just about a quantifiable difference. Maybe the trans surgery does that 100% of the time. Maybe the circumcision does it 0.01% of the time. But is something good? Can something that is bad become good when it's a rare event? I don't think so. I think something is bad in and of itself, no matter what the probabilistic relation with the outcome is, if it goes in the same direction. So people were then annoying Brett Weinstein for his inconsistency.
So many things that were...
And they were saying, the Brett posting shall continue until morale improves, thinking of making a longer video documenting the world of wonder inside Brett's brain. So I'm watching older Brett content. This is from Joe Rogan number 1081 in 2018, and it is so shockingly stupid that modern Brett would be jealous.
Very remote contingencies in history have apparently produced offspring, like, the apparent tendency of people being hung to orgasm, right? What is that?
So to be clear, when he says being hung, he's talking about being hung by a rope, being executed to death. And he says that there would be orgasm resulting from it. I was not aware of this.
It is likely to be the body taking one last shot. There's no point. There's no
this
way.
This is a new one on me. You think
you're talking
that
about
ever
autoerotic
resulted...
asphyxiation? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, actually, I wasn't talking about that, but it's a better example. It shows you that there's some part...
Being hung? What do you mean then?
I mean...
He's talking about actual execution.
I think grammatically, I mean being hanged.
Right, being hanged, yeah. I'm so confused.
So
they,
be a
they get orgasms
when they die? I'm working from anecdote here. I have read that, but I don't know of any...
How many people are checking the underwear or people just got hung?
Jeez. But my point would be, what has to be true in order for such a pattern to evolve? So let's take autoerotic asphyxiation.
It's dandelion strategy, is what you're arguing, basically. This is, dandelions who go to seed after you pick them. And spread their seeds, right? Like, is that going to work?
Last ditch efforts at reproduction. Hail Marys. Yep. And so the point is, I think this is probably not obvious unless you're used to thinking evolutionarily, but in order for a pattern to occur where some entity releases sexual propagules on death, in order for that to evolve, it has to have worked enough times for that pattern to have accumulated.
Okay, very interesting. I don't think it's shockingly stupid. I think it's a decent explanation. The story of plants giving their last try. You can see a plant totally yellow, totally dead, and you can see it trying to shoot one last seed maybe to get a shot. Yes, that is viable. I like the hypothesis. I don't think it's something to be ridiculed. Be Yourself says, I'm very glad the show begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Time again. Now I won't miss anymore. Maybe I'll try to permanently move to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, but today I'm doing it just because I have a debate at 9. So I wanted to have the time to do our regular show in full. By the way, who here would like for us to return at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Because I was on my summer schedule, and I thought I needed more time in the day, and 8 p.m. Eastern time was fitting better. Who likes the 7 p.m. Eastern time start? Type 1 in the chat. Who likes the 8 p.m. Eastern time start? 1 hour later, type 2 in the chat. Kuzim says, I'd like 7 p.m. Eastern time. All right, well, maybe it's better for everyone. Well, if it's better for everyone, I might go back to it very soon. Maybe immediately. Be Yourself says, 8 p.m. puts me in a difficult spot to watch. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've always done 7 p.m. Eastern time. The contingencies of life have led me to choose 8 p.m. and I kind of settled in it. Some people were getting used to 8 p.m., but 7 p.m. would be better for my schedule. Well, okay. If everyone prefers this, I'll be back at 7 p.m. So what do we have in the news? Donald Trump, while I was gone, a lot of news has been focusing on Donald Trump's his success in kicking out Liz Cheney from the Republican Party. You know, credit to Donald Trump. He's been on a path of vengeance, and that I can respect. Unfortunately, I do not think that Donald Trump will do anything amazing as a president of the U.S. I think he would definitely be a better option than Joe Biden. But I don't think he has what it takes to make the next move for the right. I think he's just going to keep a centrist America with a good working economy, which is not bad. So I'm happy that he's having the success that changing the Republican Party, but mostly because I think it's great that someone can show that they are fixing the Republican Party. But he hasn't fixed social media. He hasn't used his legislative power early in his presidency to do anything. He hasn't fixed the demographics problem. He hasn't fixed immigration. He just went the legal way. The demographic replacement is fine as long as it's legal. And that's annoying. I would say yes to a thriving American economy. I would love it, but it's not enough. It's not enough. So I'm willing to celebrate his success because still, his success basically demonstrates that you can, to some extent, one moment. You can, to some extent, kick the Arabist class, the elitist part of the Republican Party, and reform it to some extent. Well, that is good to know. You know, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats to support the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link is in the description below. An important news on the side of the Twitter lawsuit with respect to Elon Musk. Judge orders Twitter to provide Elon Musk with executive documents on fake accounts. So Elon Musk was on the path of saying, there is a violation of our contract. They don't want to reveal some information that I absolutely need. Now, they had asked to a total of 22 people. They had asked all of their reports. The judge has decided that it's abusive to ask for all of these reports. However, he did give the right of Elon Musk to receive a report from a former general manager of consumer product, Kevin Beckpour, who quickly disappeared from the halls of Twitter in April of this year, when it was announced that Musk would be seeking to purchase the company. Beckpour was described in Musk's court filings as one of the executives most intimately involved with determining the amount of spam and bot accounts on Twitter. Though the court denied Musk access to 21 other people involved in the company, it would appear that the battle over the social media giant is just beginning. So the reason it's important is that this guy was fired. this guy must have been fired for a reason. There must have been some problem with his report. They didn't like his report. And so Elon Musk, by grabbing this and bringing it in court, might very well find a report that that goes totally against the narrative of Twitter, that may say, look, I'm alarmed. We are lying about our bots numbers. Here's the real count. If there's anything in this report that disparages Twitter, Elon Musk is going to have a very good argument to say there's been a substantial breach here of the terms of our contract, and I've been lied to. And I had given up due diligence, but that was based on previous affirmations by Twitter, which turned out to be false, according to the report of this guy. On the other hand, if this guy never wrote anything bad about Twitter in his report, the judge will probably then say, well, see, you have no basis to believe that there are bots, that there are more bots on Twitter than claimed. And so we might find ourselves with the decisive, the content of this report will turn out to be decisive in this lawsuit. And it will determine whether the judge falls under compelling Elon Musk to pursue the purchase or pay a high fee for not doing it, or let Elon Musk go without Twitter. I prefer Elon Musk getting Twitter, because then at least we have a chance of Twitter being reformed. But the other path is also interesting, which is Twitter totally crumbling. Twitter has not been viable, as was pointed out in the article. They've been losing users. When they started losing users, they started counting the bots differently, and they are losing billions or millions on an every year basis. So it's not a viable company in how it's managed right now, and the way they banned me without explanation, without a chance to even know what I'm accused of, that makes me want to crash this company to the maximum extent. After Wyoming defeat, Cheney prepares for the longer-term fight against Trump and her own political future. Well, Liz Cheney has learned the lesson, hopefully, or has at least illustrated the lesson of why you don't give up a significant part of your political base, why you don't go against your own party. It's because then you make yourself enemies everywhere, and people don't want to vote for you anymore. So Liz Cheney was this warmongerer, daughter of a warmongerer himself, Dick Cheney. And she was basically the political continuation of Dick Cheney. They were part of the elite of the Republican Party, the kind of people who were annoyed by Trump from the very first day. So making all of this about January 6th and the institutions of democracy, I think is a big lie. Ultimately, they didn't like Trump from the beginning, and that's because Trump represented a takeover of the Republican Party by different interests, the kind of interests that would actually fight for peace in the Middle East rather than continuous endless wars. So I'm glad that she's gone, and that's a great political realization of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has succeeded at evacuating much, not all, but a lot of those that he had targeted as to be eliminated. The problem with Trump is that he doesn't really pursue these people for what they are, which is the elite warmongering class of the Republican Party. He pursues them because he doesn't like what they said about him. That's the typical narcissism of Trump, and it's giving me a headache just to think about it. Like, instead of actually reforming the Republican Party on an ideological basis, to get people who you know believe in principles A, B, C, whatever it is, I would buy in. But no, Trump is like, you've been mean to me on CNN. And so he runs against primaries based on personal hate. That is such you have to have such narcissism. But at the same time, if this narcissism aligns with our overall goal of having a right-wing party in the US, then so be it. Gripes Coda says, Twitter is full of bots. Real life is full of bots. Well, that's a revelation. Real life, you mean when I walk on the streets, that these are robots? White House climate science overseer sanctioned and barred by the National Academy of Science. A senior White House climate advisor has been sanctioned by the National Academy of Sciences for violating its ethics policies. She is in punishment for 5 years for research misconduct. Apparently, what she did is she was the editor of the journal, and she allowed the publication as an editor of collaborators of hers. So instead of saying, I will withdraw from this case, I will let someone else decide, she has allowed her friends to pass and get a publication in there. I did get a publication in PNAS when I was a young scientist at the PhD level. My publication on lampreys is at PNAS. She has violated the ethics code of scientists. Rapper ASAP Rocky charged in Hollywood shooting. I find this funny, because isn't this the guy that was saved by Trump? Trump made a big case. I believe he was stuck in Europe, and Trump made a big case about bringing him back to the U.S. It's like you have saved someone from criminal prosecution in some other country, and that's your great accomplishment for the black community, basically, because he wanted to charm the black voters. But you bring him back in the U.S. and he's going to commit some other crime. So apparently he was trying to shoot in order to intimidate someone. It was in Sweden. Sweden. He was in Sweden, got repatriated, and is now committing crimes in the U.S. How's that for your next president in 2024? Grapes Coda says, you would think Trump's narcissism would stop him from submitting so readily to a supremacist tribe. Yeah, you would think this, but narcissists, eventually they get into forming alliances, and they think that they got it right, and the people who are at the top of certain institutions in the US, they know how to flatter a narcissist. That I can tell you. Turkey strikes northern Syria, killing at least 17 as cross-border offensive looms. Tuesday into Wednesday has witnessed heavy fighting between Kurdish YPG and Turkish forces along the Syrian border town of Kobane. At a moment, Turkish President Erdogan's plans large-scale cross-border offensive loom. Already there are Turkish media reports claiming that a Turkish military convoy has entered Jarablus, northern Syria, with unverified social media photos circulating that purport to show convoys amassing. That's an interesting development, because Syria has always been in trouble with Israel on the southern front, has had the support of Russia in this process. But that would be the opening of another front of war, basically, between a country aligned with Russia in its current regime and, again, NATO aligned, NATO member, Turkey. That is interesting. So we would have the whole Ukraine situation at the same time as another front develops here. I don't know what are the goals here, but we had on the show Semiogog, who had been talking to us about the importance of northern Syria from the perspective of accessing petroleum reserves in the Mediterranean, I believe. So perhaps this is all linked. Perhaps we have here the advancement of the NATO front to maybe crush Syria and maybe even connect with Israel eventually. CDC director orders reorganization, saying COVID-19 response did not reliably meet expectations. I hate when they have these mea culpa, but the mea culpa doesn't even recognize the right things. They say they want to release data quicker and make guidance easier to understand. That's another way of saying the problem was the public. Our decisions were perfect, but we had to explain it better to these idiots in the public. The problem is that you guys are counselors in medicine, basically, and you've taken over the management of societies as a whole. And you started violating the individual rights. You've entered the political domination game. That's the problem of the CDC. The minute politicians started listening to the CDC, the minute laws were made in line to fit with the CDC, and the minute corporations started imposing on their customers the things of the CDC, then you became a tool of oppression. That's your problem. Your problem is not messaging. You're not going to do better messaging. If anything, the more you try to message it well, the more you will step onto traps. Because the political resistance is equipped and prepared on the internet. We will watch your every move. We will always criticize you. There is never a vaccine that we will say, oh yeah, we love this one. We will always look at your every step and always find errors. Because it's our job. And I think we've done it well here. We didn't cover COVID from an alarmist perspective, but you guys, the CDC, have been joining a tornado of alarmism, and you've been, in doing so, transforming yourself into a political tool of deciding who gains in the free market and who loses. Lendalt Guntram says, and Turkey would prefer the total pacification of the Kurds. This consideration is always there on the background. I don't know enough about the details to know what is. But Turkey is a complex country, let me tell you. I've never gotten into understanding it because it's like, okay, I guess my mind as a Western European, you know, I see the world, okay, there's a little king here, there's a castle. And there's a people, and they farm, and he taxes them. That works to me. But Turkey, I have no idea. Maybe I'll get to know if they do go into a war with Syria. Maybe I'll get to know. I'll have to know more about Turkey. Dershowitz, arresting or convicting Trump won't keep him out of the 2024 race. Yes, to some extent, he's right, you know. But it could delay him. If they can succeed at getting him jail time, it would definitely impede on his capacity. But getting just a criminal prosecution going wouldn't be enough indeed, because you can be a president and have committed crimes, and it's all a matter of political control. Can you get the Senate to impeach him, to accept his impeachment? Right now, you can. Study claims more kids are fat and unhealthy because of global warming. A study published in the journal Temperature has claimed that there is a correlation between rising temperatures and children becoming fatter and more unhealthy. The study claims that climate change is causing more children to stay inside, eat more, and be generally less active. Do we have the data to make this claim? today's children are 30% less aerobically fit than their parents were at their age. The study points to climate change and rising temperatures affecting childhood obesity. I'm not sure we have the data to make this claim. I think what's more likely happening is that there is a correlation. There is a correlation between just being in the current year and having access to more food, and also computers, phones, everything that makes life less of an exercise. And so I think it's going to be very hard to detect an effect of temperature that is independent of all these realities that have changed in connection with climate. Biden approves largest oil gas lease sale in U.S. history. Team Rose Eco Review with Inflation Bill. That was a little hidden aspect of the Inflation Reduction Act, which was finally that Biden was allowing lease for gas in the Gulf of Mexico. So he's been criticized for canceling so much of the of the oil industry that, of course, it's not surprising that the prices have risen. But I was sure. I didn't even know that there was this this sentence. But I knew that something in that bill would probably result in lower gas price, more gas availability. I think it's going to take a long time for this to have an actual impact on the offer in the market. But it can change the moods of the market, and it can potentially have immediate impact if people try to expect this arrival of more supply. DK Shadow says, reducing inflation by not blocking supply. Exactly. It's not like a genius political move. It's just, okay, at least he has stopped blocking the supply side. Wonderful. Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, secretly brought to you by Bill Gates. Apparently, Bill Gates is totally behind this success of the Inflation Reduction Act, because they're saying that he's the one who went to a personal dinner with Joe Manchin and convinced him to accept this. So, fucking Bill Gates, man. He is in your pants. He is in your computer. He is in your arm with the vaccine, and now he is in your pocket because he caused this tax raise on the middle class. Unbelievable guy. How does he get away with it every time? Bill Gates, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He has accomplished everything he had to accomplish. You've made Microsoft, Bill. You've made the operating system that we're all forced to use. What else do you want from life? Just take vacations. Society is going to get better. Los Angeles Soros DA Gascon recall failed. So that's an example of a far-left district attorney that they were unsuccessful at kicking from his position. They tried making a recall election, but almost 200,000 signatures were invalid, a number that brought the petition just slightly below the threshold requirement. So apparently, although they had gathered 520,000 valid signatures, there were 200,000 signatures that didn't pass the test. Since when do we care about the validity of signature? I didn't know this, but it seems that in this case they did care. Ariel Suarez says, we want us to be incorporated into the operating systems, JF. Yeah, I think that's the goal. He made the operating system, and eventually he would want us to have a low ecological footprint life in his Windows. I would be in a window. Well, I'm already in a window, but I'm also a real guy. I'd like to remain a real guy. CDC admits they were wrong about a huge safety problem. by silently deleting the erroneous text. Look at this. This is a claim. Suddenly it disappears from the CDC website, but there's no acknowledgement. There's no, hey, we were wrong about this. No, they just silently remove it. The mRNA and the spike protein do not last long in the body. Our cells break down mRNA from these vaccines and get rid of it within a few days after vaccination. Scientists estimate that the spike protein, like other proteins our bodies create, may stay in the body up to a few weeks. So that was the claim. The claim has disappeared. So, I mean, have they seen the studies that I've been covering on this show, which were highlighting the potential for mRNA to be encoded back into DNA and to make loops of encoding that were always present? Maybe they did. But I don't like the idea of a removal without explanation. It seems that there is a mea culpa to be made here. And when you look at their current reorganization on the basis that, oh yeah, we need to make guidance easier to understand. No. You need to be at least as fast as Papa JF to follow the public literature on the subject of your expertise. It's not even my expertise. And I've been mentioning the line copying of these mRNA vaccines more than a year ago, I think. So, unbelievable, but the CDC, 1 year later, deletes their false statement. But no acknowledgement, nothing on the record that allows us to know, okay, you guys were wrong. So the next time you want to force people, you'll have this past example of you being totally wrong on something. DK Shadow says, Jeff has been warning us of COVIDs for years. Even before COVID was in, I was talking about flying AIDS. People will remember my term flying AIDS. AIDS gone airborne. Thomas O'Ward says, does JF have any thoughts on why this claim is false? Have they developed some form of reverse transcriptase, plasmid inclusion in the vaccine? Well, here's the thing. It's because there are already pre-existing reverse transcriptase in your body. One of them is the line. They call it like this, the line, LINE. The line genetic system, I guess we could call it. It's a gene. It takes segments of RNA, puts them back into DNA, and it's already ready to express back some of the things that it integrates to DNA. So this system is pre-existing in your body. When you feed the vaccine, if it happens that the vaccine falls into a cell that has this activity, the line L1 activity, it gets reverse transcribed and it gets into your DNA. And then you cannot say that mRNA goes away and that it doesn't stay in your body. And what does anyway? You know, there's always traces of stuff that remain, sometimes months after you have consumed them. So the fact that they could be as certain in their statement early is ridiculous. Furthermore, there are now, I believe, and this is what I was covering a year ago, there are now experiments in which we've seen these mRNA segments be reverse transcribed into DNA. We'd have to look at the line cells, reverse transcription of the COVID vaccine. There you go. The title of the article is Intracellular Reverse Transcription of Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 mRNA vaccine BNT162b2 in vitro in human liver cell line. There you go. Line one, open reading frame one, RNA binding protein, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's the study I was talking about. I will include it here in my Windows so that it appears in the list of links for you, Thomas Howard, at the end of the show. Colorado boy, 13, dead after apparent fentanyl poisoning. Jose Hernandez, 13, may have died of accidental fentanyl poisoning after taking a pill his family thinks he got at school. My God. Homeschool your children. Fentanyl is insane. But back in the days when I was a PhD in respiratory physiology, I used to see all these papers come out about how opioids, they depress the respiratory centers. And I was always annoyed by these articles because I'm a basic scientist. I like how normal breathing works. I like how normal neurons work. I don't really care about if you put a drug, what happens. But I hadn't realized that it's a matter of life and death for a lot of people. Fentanyl poisoning, which can happen, it seems that it can happen without you even taking the pill. It seems it can happen by the touch or by just being close to fentanyl or putting a little bit on your fingers. And it's that these opioids directly target the brain center in your brainstem that generate breathing, and they put you in a relaxed state, but so relaxed that you forget to breathe. Your respiratory centers are depressed. Your respiratory muscles don't work anymore. They are not activated, and you die. This is what seems to have happened with this guy, who apparently was on his way back to home, and he got given a pill. They are currently investigating, but they don't know at all how he got the pill and who gave it to him. Shelburne says it goes through the skin. Yeah, because I've seen some policemen, they were extremely careful about touching these things with gloves because one of them had touched it without gloves and was kind of losing consciousness. Thomas Howard says there are many tales of the ER where multiple doses of naloxone won't knock the fentanyl molecule of the mu receptor. It binds so tightly, much more tightly than natural morphine derivative. Yeah, exactly. So it's something that can be handled by this naloxone, which comes and kind of removes it. But as you say, sometimes it doesn't work. Grapes Coda says, then you take a nice drive trick. Grapes Coda, will be deleting this chat. I'm back from vacation, but I'm still aware. I'm connected to the world. I detect the hate. And I remove the hate. North Carolina co-pilot who jumped from plane was upset about hard landing. Oh my God, got up from his seat, removed his headset, apologized, and departed the plane via the aft ramp door. This guy is a co-pilot. He steps up, he says, I apologize. And he throws himself down the plane. Now the pilot, when he saw this happen, he was thinking, he looks like he wants to vomit. Maybe he wants to take some air by the window. But no, he saw him then jump. And the reason he did this, and this tells us an aspect of human psychology, which is perfectionism. And sometimes these systems that are very elite, like academia, plane driving, engineering, you know, these people who get selected a lot, they are so perfectionist that they have never failed a single time in their life. This guy was frustrated because he made a move that led to the landing gears to be broken. So he has broken a part of his landing apparatus. And he was totally upset by, oh my God, I've committed a major mistake. And while flying, knowing that he had broken his gear apparatus earlier in the day, he was like, I'm committing suicide. Ah, but Firestarter has a different hypothesis. He said, sounds like a murder. Yeah, that is very interesting. Do we know what happens in these planes when there's a pilot and a co-pilot? Do we have video? Do we have audio that would... I guess they would have certainly an audio recording that allows them to know if it's a murder. So I think they will be able to exclude this hypothesis. The first known case of human-to-dog monkeypox transmission has been documented in a medical journal, The Lancet. The dog caught it from its owners, a non-monogamous gay couple in Paris. The greyhound developed an anal ulceration and mucocutaneous lesions. Monkeypox comes as a lens, allowing us to see things that we didn't see in society. I didn't know there were people having 28 different partners every week. I didn't know there were gay people in Paris fucking their dogs in the ass. But it's happening, and monkeypox is the lens. It opens up a new vision of the world. Suddenly there were things. It's like in the movie, you know, when he puts the lenses on and he sees the world differently. He sees the conspiracy. He sees that all of the things on the billboards are lies. Monkeypox is a revealer of lies, a revealer of what is hidden. And we get to know more about our fellow human being thanks to it. Trudeau celebrates Canadian windfall from Biden signing the Inflation Reduction Act. Somehow it will also apply to Canada, the tax credits for purchasing electric vehicles manufactured in North America. I don't know there was a Canadian component to it, but that's what it is. Okay, we have a training session here of the IRS. Look at what the IRS is getting trained to. It doesn't look like they're going out there to catch the billionaires.
Can we take your weapon, please?
Well, if you're going to ask me, I don't know. I'm going to say no.
Spread your legs.
Get arrested.
Oh my God. So we're going to get now, you have the police, you have to respect the local crimes. And now they will have their own police force for when you do IRS violations of the tax code. Why would they need guns like this? The worst case scenario, I would have committed a nonviolent crime. Isn't there a way you can use the existing police force? They will have their own agent, so they will be equipped with all these guns. I don't like the direction it's taking. Pence tells GOP to stop lashing out at the FBI over the Trump search. I think that the fate for, hopefully the fate for Mike Pence is the same as Liz Cheney, which is he's been fighting too much on the inside. Hopefully Trump will be able to discard this guy and remove his influence. I think it may not have been a very good decision to have this guy as a vice president. I understand that Trump always wants to soften everything, so he wants to dilute himself and average himself out. That's why he was even hiring Democrats as part of his administration. But don't do it. You need extremists. When you name a just, even the justices that were named on the Supreme Court, not extremist enough. We've seen them a week on certain points. So you have to surround yourself with people who are like totally in line with your principles and in fact more extreme than you. Because then you end up with someone who was basically your right arm, talking against you and playing against you in his own politics game. Not a good idea. Border Patrol opens gate locked by the Texas National Guard to allow illegal immigrants to enter. Texas has surged law enforcement to the border to try and stop illegal immigration. So we have a conflict of governments happening here. You have a state like Texas who is paying the price of illegal immigration and then seeing the direct cost of it. And then you have the federal government trying to get as much people in as possible to favor the Democrats in elections and other progressions of socialism in America. And it shows dramatically at the border, because here you had a fence that was locked by the state agents, and the federal agents come in and they unlock it and they let them pass. That's why we need to eradicate, completely eliminate the federal government. It's because it will be playing against us always. Toronto Festival Kingston Fest not offering refunds for chaotic show and fans aren't happy. So apparently they were trying to direct the crowd in a VIP line, and then there was a general admission line, but the crowd of young people revolted and just jump. So this is in Toronto, Canada. Don't send your children to these crowd, these events. There's nothing to gain there, only suffering and potential death. Thomas Howard says barricade couldn't hold up. And Grapes Coda says, ah, yes, I'm always hearing about these young people on the news. Yes, I think that this generation is completely lost. I don't know what they will become. Paul Dirac says, is this video from your vacation, Jeff? Yes, as a primary journalist, you know, I'm always on the ground to cover what matters to you guys. So I took this from my own cell phone as I was going to the concert in Toronto. No, it wasn't from me. You'll never see me film these events because I don't want to be at these events. I don't want these events to even happen. And this will be our last news item before I go to prepare for the Crucible debate. Furry as Minneapolis Teachers Union negotiates clause requiring white educators to be laid off first, regardless of seniority, to make up for past discriminations. Rule is part of contract that ended 2 week strike this past March. They have a system where they say they will fire people from the bottom of the seniority ladder, but if they are now attain a black man, they will not fire him, and then they will start firing the white men who are higher in seniority than him. So basically, anti-white racism. This is what we've been warning you about for 6 years now, and it's happening, and I'm afraid that they are trying to create precedents here, and they're going to do this across the board. Reps Koda says, I will stop putting JF in compromising positions. I've been on Gab for too long. That's a good resolution, Grapes Coda, because I'm in a banning mood and I might very well ban you if that keeps happening. Hyge Security says, can you ask the Crucible to upload their debates to Odyssey? Maybe I'll have time to ask Andrew, but if I don't have time during the live, I can message him on Gab that people would like to see this. Because yes, I've seen that many of the videos don't get to Odyssey. Why is that? Why is that, Andrew? Anyways, I'll see you all in 50 minutes from now. We'll be on The Crucible on YouTube. I'll be sharing the links on my social media very soon. Bye-bye, and I'm glad to be back on the internet tonight. Thank you.